I hope that you still have your outline from last week with you. Maybe you tucked it in your Bible, something like that. I hope you did that, because if you remember, I did not even get through all of this last week. I was planning on going through at least the fourth trumpet, but we made it down to, and I quickly introduced the trumpets, but we didn't get any further than that. So Lord willing, we're going to try to go on and cover as much as we can about the judgments and the trumpet judgments and what God is showing us and telling us through these judgments. If you don't have your part one outline, you can easily follow just reading through the scriptures with us. So we began, we did some introduction last week, but we'll begin this week right here, chapter number 9. And we will start with, I said chapter number 9, it's not chapter number 9, it's chapter number 8, I'm sorry, chapter number 8. And the scripture tells us, and when he had opened the seventh seal, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember back in the fifth chapter, where the book was in the hand of God, and the Lamb who was worthy, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, came and took the book out of his hand and began to break the seals of that book. When the Bible says he, that pronoun is referring back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He opened the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven. We went through and studied that silence. What is happening after Wednesday night, 2 weeks ago, someone came and asked me, he said, well, what is the significance of that silence? The significance is this. The judgments have been coming. You know, the six of the seals have been broken by the time we get here to chapter number 8. And each one of those seals, you know, some would say that we've always had earthquakes, we've always had famine, we've always had war. And they would say, some would say to themselves that these are just natural catastrophe. They could possibly say, well, we attribute that to the global warming that's been going on. It's just, an intensification of the natural disaster and causes. But when we get to this point, God is silent. In heaven, there's a silence because the judgments are about to intensify tenfold. And there is a silence as the angels in heaven wait for God to declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ, He is the Messiah. He arose from the grave on the third day. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And that God is about to declare Himself as the King and Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords over all the earth. So we see here that the seventh seal was open. There was a silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. In verse number 2, John is speaking. He said, I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. These trumpets, as we begin to look at these trumpets, you know, remember last week went back to the first mention of the word shofar. That is the Hebrew word that was used for trumpet. Our King James translators translated shofar as trumpet. The very first time in Scripture that you read that word is when in Genesis chapter number 22, verse number 13, where Abraham and Isaac, they've gone up on the mountain. Isaac is laying on the altar. Abraham is about to thrust the knife in him, and Isaac was going to be the sacrifice. But the Bible says there was a ram caught in the thicket by his shofar, his horns. The first mention of a shofar was a mention of a judgment on sin, a judgment upon the curse, a judgment against Satan, the salvation that's to come. And that's the very first mention. The first mention of a shofar was a mention of judgment. And so when these trumpets begin to sound, there's no doubt this is about judgment. Matter of fact, we talked some about the Hebrew feasts and festivals. And as we were teaching about those, there at the end of the year, the religious year in Israel, in the Old Testament, and even today, they still celebrate some of these feasts. There was at the end of September, 1st of October, there was the Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets. And after the Feast of Trumpets, there was the Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. After Yom Kippur was Sabbats, or Tabernacles. And the significance of this is that when the trumpet sounds, we're going to be heaven bound. Revelation 4, chapter number 4, verse number 1 and 2. When that trumpet sounds, we're going to be heaven. When the trumpet, Rosh Hashanah, when the trumpet sounds, we're headed to our heavenly home, a place where there's no crying, no dying, no sorrow, no pain, no sickness. That's where we're headed. Then atonement. It's a picture of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter number 19, as the general of the armies of heaven is riding upon a white horse with the armies of heaven behind him. And they come back to this earth and they subdue the nations. And he sets up a kingdom for 1,000 years, a millennial kingdom. He's going to rule and reign here on this earth. And everyone's going to know that he is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Yom Kippur, judgment is coming. And tabernacles, of course, is eternity. Eternity. So these Feast of Trumpets, they have a symbolism. They are a metaphor of the book of the Revelation and what's going to happen, what John the Revelator is telling us in the Revelation. Now, there's something about Revelation, and it is a rule that should apply to all Bible interpretation. I've asked the sound guys if they would put this up for me. It'll be on two different slides. There is what is known as the golden rule of Bible interpretation. And I didn't put it in the outline because there wasn't quite enough room for it to all go in there. But I would tell you that if you are a Bible student, it would be good for you to write this down. Because this is very important. What it tells us is when the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. Therefore, take every word at its primary, ordinary, usual, literal meaning, unless the facts of the immediate context, studied in the light of related passages and axiomatic fundamental truths, clearly, you got that? Clearly indicate otherwise. Now that has been shortened. For people like me that have a memory problem, that has been short. What they say is, when the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense, lest it result in nonsense. Because you know what happens? You know what happens with people? They look at a certain scripture, they misinterpret that scripture because they do not compare scripture with scripture, and you end up with a lot of heresy, and you end up with a lot of false doctrines, and it's because people are not correctly interpreting the scriptures. We interpret the scriptures literally. The Bible means what it says and says what it means. As you're reading through, yes, there are metaphor, there are allegory, there is symbolism that is in the Bible. But don't read it into something that is not there. I have read behind a lot of different men as I study the Bible, and many of them, as I have found, they go way off into left field on something that doesn't have anything to do with what they're writing about, because they're taking things out of its proper context and not with the literal and proper sense of interpreting the Scriptures. So as we go through, as we read about these judgments, remember that there are two words that are key. The word like, if John says it was like this, or it was as this, then he's saying, it reminds me of the news at 11 o'clock. And mom and daddy, they was asleep in bed, and the weather's bad, and a tornado comes through, blows trees everywhere, and limbs are down everywhere, and the news shows up, and they put a microphone in front of his face, and they say, what happens? He said, you wouldn't believe it. Me and mama, we was asleep in bed, and all of a sudden the wind began blowing, and it was almost like a train that came through. You ever heard them say that? It sounded like a train coming. They said, like. It wasn't a train that came through. It was like a train. What it sounded like. And it does. It does. So as we read through this and go to these trumpets, most of them, most all of what we're reading here, this is literal. This is actually going to happen. This will happen. So as we see what the angel, in verse number 3, the angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. The smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. You remember a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the tabernacle in the wilderness, the tabernacle of Moses. How when you come into the tabernacle, as you pass through the doors, which were really curtains, when you passed, the first thing you came to was the brazen altar, the altar of sacrifice, of burnt offerings. And beyond that is the laver. Then the next, you come to a small area that's behind a second curtain, and inside there was the altar of incense and the table of showbread and the menorah. So what this angel is doing, you notice the angel's coming with a golden censer. The golden censer was only used, remember I told you, on the Day of Atonement. During the tabernacle, that's the only day it was ever used. We have an angel who's coming with a golden censer. That tells us this is judgment that's coming. This is judgment that's coming. He goes in, and under that brazen altar, what the priest would do is they would take a small fire pan and they would scoop out some of the coals from the burnt offering. And they would go inside to the altar of incense. And on the altar of incense, they would apply the fragrant odors, the fragrant spices and things. And they would pour the coals gently upon the spices. And the smoke would go up and the fragrance would fill the room. And it would be just an overwhelming, overwhelming fragrance. So that odor, that fragrance, what is that? We go back to chapter number 5. In chapter number 5, when we read about that altar of incense, we realize that there were the saints, those who were martyred. The Bible says their voices were crying out from under the altar. From that altar, that brazen altar, the altar of sacrifice, their soul, they were sacrificed for their belief and their faith in God. They stood firm for God, even in the face of death. They still would not deny God. Reminds me of one of our pastors in India about 8 years ago. He had been threatened by some of the radical Hindus. They told him, do not preach in the name of Jesus any longer. And Brother John told them, he said, I will preach. I refuse to obey you. I'm going to obey God. And they told him, after he continued to preach, stop preaching. But he continued to preach. And one Wednesday night after their service, he and one of the men of his church, they were walking to their home. They were attacked by a mob of radical Hindus. They took sticks, canes, they took rebar, iron rods, and they beat them, and Pastor John died from the beating that he took. because of preaching the gospel. They are those souls, they're under the altar. They're crying out. You remember what they were saying? How long? How long, O God, before you avenge our soul? How long? Well, what's going to happen here is God's about to dole out justice on those who have killed His saints, those who have killed His children. He's about to bring justice to them. There's a difference between revenge and being avenged. Revenge, that's really an illegal act. You're acting beyond your authority. But vengeance is legal and proper and right and just. God is about to exact avenge. He's going to avenge the souls. He takes the coals. He goes into the altar of incense. He puts it on the altar of incense. Once he puts it on the altar of incense, the Bible says that in verse number 5, that there was lightning and voices and thunderings and an earthquake. But he was not allowed to write. Reminds me of the book of Daniel, chapter number 11. You know, Daniel was writing about the end times and what was going on. And the angel said, seal up the vision until the end. We do have, I believe, John the Revelator is picking up where Daniel left off. But he's not telling us everything. There's still more that's there that we'll learn about one day. And we'll know one day. And then the Bible tells us, and the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded. And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. You know, on the earth, the total land mass of the earth, 29% of that is actually land. 70% or so, 71% is water, salt water. But of the land mass, there are 148,429,000 square acres. One third, almost 50,000 acres of land. No more trees, no more grass. It's all gone. The Bible tells us, and do you notice the word as or like or no? That's not there. There will literally be hail and fire mingled with blood. You know, men, women, they've rejected the blood of Christ for years. And they've refused to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or receive His salvation or receive the blood sacrifice. And what God's going to do is God's going to rain blood down upon them. They may reject the blood, but God is going to bring that blood down upon them. I don't think it's the blood of Christ. No, I don't believe that at all. But it is a blood of judgment, and it's going to happen. A third of all of the trees are burned. The Bible tells us in verse number 8, the second angel sounded. And as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, as I said, you notice here that there is the word as. As it were. John's trying to describe something that he really can't put into words. He said, when I looked up into the heavens and it looked like a great mountain that was coming down. As a matter of fact, this great mountain that John sees coming out of the skies, scientists tell us it's not a matter of if, but when an asteroid or comet hits the earth. It will happen. They say it will happen. And as a matter of fact, they are telling us that they are currently tracking over 100,000 asteroids that are within reach of the earth that could easily come and crash into the earth. 100,000. The largest of those, is, they call Ceres, it's nearly 500 miles wide. And this comet, I wondered what would happen if an asteroid hit the earth. Well, I looked on a website, it's called Nerdist.com. Nerdist.com. You want anything that's nerdy, go there. They got all the nerdified facts you'll ever need. Nerdist.com, under their science and tech. It says if an asteroid that was 1 to 2 miles wide would impact the earth, that it was had enough power to destroy an entire country. If an asteroid that's only 1 to 2 miles wide were to hit America, America would be destroyed. They say there, in their science and calculations, that a 6 mile wide asteroid would destroy the entire earth. We have seen some of the destruction. You know, some have been able to invent bombs that would kind of duplicate some of this destruction. We think back to Nagasaki and Hiroshima during World War II. Some 109,000 Japanese people died when those two bombs were dropped on Japan in World War II. It brought unreal, and I'm sure many of you have seen the pictures, it was unbelievable devastation. Entire cities just completely flattened. As a matter of fact, at the height of the Cold War, I was doing some research on these things. In 1961, the Russians tried to prove they were ahead of the United States in their nuclear development. They developed a bomb that they called the Tsar Bomba, or the King of All Bombs, is the translation. They invented what they called the King of All Bombs. They said, the New York Times, when they reported on this, said if that bomb was dropped, it would cause unimaginable destruction. Nothing compared. You know, that the bombs that dropped on Japan would be almost like a pop gun compared to these bombs. That this bomb, as a matter of fact, they said it has the equivalent of 50 million cubic tons of dynamite. They've never dropped that bomb, praise the Lord. But in 2017, the United States of America dropped a bomb in Iraq called Moab, the mother of all bombs. And they said it produced a mushroom cloud that could be seen with the eye, visibly seen, 20 miles away. And it was not, it's not even a nuclear bomb. That's just a standard ordnance. A mushroom cloud. And as a matter of fact, they said the details of the destruction that bomb caused, they have not yet been disclosed. They're still under top secret order. You can't see what it did. But you can imagine if man can do that. Imagine what's going to happen when this star, this great mountain falls. And the Bible says a third, one third of the ocean, one third of the ships, one third of the life in the sea, the fish, all destroyed. Unbelievable, the destruction that's going to come. So the Bible tells us that as the third trumpet sounds in verse number 10, the third angel sounded. Thank you. When the third angel sounds the trumpet, the Bible says a great star fell from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountain of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter, undrinkable, poisonous, non-potable. It cannot be consumed. And what's going to happen is there are going to be many, the Bible doesn't tell us the exact number, but many, many people around the world. Can you imagine what's going to happen? The sudden shortage of water that's going to take place. You know, I've heard that you can live at least 30 days without food. Well, some of us can live longer than that, Brother Joseph. You can live at least 30 days without food, but you will not live a week without water. You have to have water. Imagine those who will die because of the shortage of water, the thirst, the panic. You think the great toilet paper panic is something? Wait till they start clearing the shelves of water. Gone, nowhere to be found. People are dying of thirst in the streets, and there's no water to be found. It's not that they can't produce it fast enough. That's not the problem. The problem is not that they can't deliver it to the stores. It's not a logistical problem. The problem is there is none. There is none. Imagine the terror, the fright. What's going to happen when suddenly there's no drinking water? The Bible tells us, as we read that, it says it was a great star. Comet, meteor, I don't know. But it's going to fall from heaven. And a third part of the rivers and the waters, the fresh water now, is contaminated. Salt water contaminated, shipping has been interrupted, the fish are dying. Imagine the stench. Now the fresh water, there's an attack on the fresh water. And the Bible tells us the name of it is wormwood. Wormwood just simply means bitter. A translation of that is just poisonous. It's undrinkable. And the Bible tells us in verse number 12, and the fourth angel sounded. Appreciate our angel sounding the trumpet for us. Amen. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Darkness over one third of the earth. You remember last time when I taught, I told you that I would tell you, you know, some people say, well, it's only going to affect one third part of the earth. It'll only happen in the Middle East. It's not going to happen over the whole earth, or maybe it will be of the whole earth. But you remember in Matthew chapter number 24, when Jesus was giving his disciples, he was teaching them about the judgments that were to come. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. When the flood came, it was not a localized flood, was it? The entire earth was covered by the waters. And there is more than enough evidence to prove that it was a worldwide judgment that God brought upon mankind. What's going to happen with these judgments? Is it going to be one third, but it's not going to be localized? It is going to be over the whole earth. Imagine if suddenly one third of the light of the sun is gone. One third of the light from the stars, it's gone from the moon. They're gone. You know what's immediately going to happen? It's going to get cold. They're going to be changing. There'll be no global warming, okay? It's going to be cold. And not only will there be a physical change, but just think about the mental change. You know, When there's darkness and you're always in darkness, it affects you mentally, doesn't it? Depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts. You can imagine what is going to be happening as these judgments. There's already, we're in the midst of war when the second seal is broken. There's famine, there's plagues. The Bible said that the sun was darkened, the seals were broken, and now there's no salt water. Shipping's interrupted. Being able to move things from nation to nation, international shipping has been affected. Goods are not available. People are going to be, you would think they would be turning to God, and you would think that all of this anxiety and all this would drive them to God. But it does not. It does not. In verse 13, John wrote that I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets and the three angels which are yet to sound. The fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet, which is where we are coming up to in part number two, is they're also known as the woe judgments. And the Bible tells us that when the fifth trumpet sounds, the fifth angel sounded, chapter number 9, verse number 1. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And upon them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And it was given unto them that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torments was the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Brother Tom, is it okay if I stop there? I mean, we're right at time. We're right at time. Thank you. Thank you for that. This star, we're going to find out on next Wednesday night who that star, it's a person. It's a person. That star is a person. We're going to find out who that is. We're going to find out more about these locusts. And we're going to read more about the sixth and the seventh trumpets as the judgments continue falling. I think Brother Barry, when he taught these lessons, did such a tremendous job. But you remember as he ended his teaching, he was really brokenhearted. He was brokenhearted over those who will be left behind, over those who do not know Christ, over those who will go through this judgment. If you're here and you're saved tonight, praise God. But if you have lost family members, if you have lost children, mother, father, sister, uncle, brother, I would be on my face begging God, please, please, please save my family. Friends, loved ones, please, Lord, please save them. Don't let them go through these judgments. Awful and terrible judgments.